Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
In the climate-ravaged year of 2072, the city of Pura stands as a miraculous green haven, a geoengineered paradise that protects fortunate residents from the global catastrophes of heat domes, fires, floods, and droughts. Binge all episodes of The Last City ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Monday, I'm going to go through the shoes. Tuesday, I'm going to go through the coats and see what I can donate. You know what I mean? I feel like if you break it down, it could be more fun. And you also can have a time in your day that's productive, but also allowing room to do your personal stuff, working out, going to work, whatever.
I'm just sitting here nodding. Everything you're saying makes so much sense.
Everyone's got their thing. Guys, don't run away. Just stay with us here at the Fanatics Podcast. See the reference I'm making for you Dexter New Blood fans? By the way, if you guys are loving Dexter New Blood and even loving more these wonderful podcast episodes we're doing with these amazing recaps with directors and writers and all these actors, please share with your Dexter friends and family. Share with anyone you know. Text them, like, subscribe, all the things. We appreciate it. Your love is our love. It is mutual. And speaking of mutual, I have a deep love for my co-host today, Claire Kramer. Hi, Claire.
Hi, David. And I have a deep, deep love for you as well. And for Dexter New Blood. Anybody yes. who's listening knows that I'm truly a fan. So I agree. It's a great little recap, interviews, whatnot. And here we are to talk about episode 7, Skin of Her Teeth.
Skin of Her Teeth. Very special, guys. We're getting into it, guys. Okay. And by the way, we're going to talk all about Giselle Jimenez, who we have on later in the podcast. Giselle, as you know, is Tess the bartender. She is such a talent and so wonderful. And we'll get to her in a second. Don't
such
you worry.
Such a great character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's just do a little recap, though.
Okay.
Episode 7. So, Claire, did we like this episode? Was it exciting, fun,
thrilling? I loved this episode. I loved it because the second it started, we saw Dexter Morgan. He has made the full, complete Jim Lindsay, Dexter Morgan circle. And now I feel like he's Dextering, but he's also Jimming in a way. He's kind of integrated the characters, but to see him back in his crime scene element was something that I didn't realize I missed until I saw him in the crime scene element, you know, not just wandering around, not just like hiding Matt's body and, you know, creating hot chocolate and fires for the staff. He actually is doing what he's so very good at and what also has allowed him to get away with being Dexter for so many decades. And so just in that moment, and I could not help but, and I mentioned this the last episode, Detective Bishop is just turning into the Deb character for me. Like, she is full on. They even started to look alike a little bit to me. Maybe I'm like having Dexter hallucinations. I don't know.
Similar height, similar hair.
Similar height, similar hair, similar like experiences now that she's finding Iris, you know, and
strong women.
Yes. Strong women with strong, big emotions, yes. Which is nothing to apologize for.
No.
You know, nothing. But I loved it. I love the opening. And of course, then this episode really is about Kurt Caldwell and how he's going to get away with what he's going to get away with and how Dexter is going to rectify Kurt's situation, I guess you could say. I don't know. Just, what do you think, David?
Yeah, it's just so fun that this is the episode where, you know, I'll get right to it already. Like, well, one, I agree with everything you said, Claire, in that you want to see Dexter Morgan in some level of authority. Doesn't have to be all the time, but it's fun to see him when he's got his, you know, I was going to call him the client when he has his victim sitting, laying down, ready to plunge his knife in. That is a wonderful thing because you want to see him in authority because essentially he's in hiding this entire time. So to see him in authority moments, taking charge and being asked to, hey, do the thing you do well in the open, you know, and do the forensics. I'm with you. It's you want to see your protagonist be a pro.
Right. A pro.
So,
yeah.
Right. So seeing now Kurt and Dexter in the jail scene is so great because you want that. You know, and they waited up till episode 7, and I think that's great. And now they're both acknowledging each other in that, hey, I know what you did. I know what you did, but we're not saying it out loud, but we both know.
Well, I mean, if all the years of Dexter voiceovers have taught us anything, they've taught us that serial killers can sniff each other out.
Yes.
So they're like two like wolves doing this little sniffing dance. Yes. You know what I mean?
It's great.
It's great. Now, okay, so we realize earlier in the episode that Kurt knows that Dexter did it because he sends through Harrison the titanium pin.
Yes.
Back with, you know, and Harrison, shockingly to me as a teenage boy who's on the edge with his own dark passenger, Harrison didn't open that envelope.
He is respectful young man.
I mean.
Clearly loves his dad, has no issues.
No trust issues.
Trust is big with him. Did you have a guess did you have a guess of what the screw meant when he looked at it or not yet until he put two and two together?
I didn't. I mean.
It's a tough one. I don't know. Naturally think of Matt's, scar that he had at that, you know.
Well, I was
one.
Like, is it like an ice pick? You know what I mean? I wasn't clear on what the object was either. However, you know, when they say once it's revealed that it's the titanium pin that did not melt in the fire, and then you realize Kurt is talking about that moment at the end of episode 2 or 3 when Dexter actually picks him up outside the bar, I think it's episode 3, and drives through Matt's ashes, and you're like, oh my God, he knows that was not snow. That was his son. Wowzers.
Pretty macabre, huh?
It is.
Is it macabre or macabre?
Macabre, I believe.
You don't say the bruh. Leave out the bra. Okay.
Yeah. Drop the bruh. Okay.
But yeah, it's pretty dark. What you want out of Dexter New Blood. You don't want it to be too much Jim Lindsay. You need a little more Dexter Morgan. And this episode really gives that to you.
Well, they've set it up that, you know, because I was actually thinking about this while I was in the shower today. And they've set it up. There's no mystery who the quote unquote big bad is this season. And that was revealed early on, you know, episode 4, when they showed the exterior of the, you know, cabin, the doors where the runaways would run out and Kurt would shoot him. You know, there's a tiny little question going into episode 5, but pretty much since, you know, we've pretty much known it's Kurt. So it's going to be a struggle for Harrison these next couple episodes.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's going to be like a battle of like the good serial killer versus the evil serial killer.
The good, you know? The good out of practice serial killer too. Boy, he just right. keeps, we just the whole season is just about him losing step, and it, you know, he's getting caught because
he's
of
just
that.
Being a little rusty. You know, he was also always on that sort of like fine line in the original run of the show. You know, he was always like, "Oops, they're gonna," you know, "Oops, this piece of evidence," "Oops," but he was actually in the station, so he could tamper with the evidence. So that's also sort of like he is out of practice, but those close calls are indicative of his character as well. He's just visible enough that, you know, these people aren't just dying natural deaths. They're being murdered, but he's, you know, shaded enough. You don't know it's Dexter Morgan or Jim Lindsay. If that makes sense.
This is another Sandy Bookstaver directed episode. And again, I think Sandy and Marcos's feel of how it looks is always a little different for me. And I love how Marcos just has this more muted tone for me for whatever reason. And I think Sandy's, I love what he did. It just felt very, textured again when, you know, this person is putting on the apron and then the mask, and we see it's Harrison.
Right.
Who's getting ready to wash a truck. But it's a great moment of just telling you,
yes,
without telling you, that things are transforming, people are changing.
Yes, that was such a weird moment too, because I knew he took the job at Caldwell's, but I didn't know there was a truck washing place there. Completely unexpected to see it be Harrison, and also wondering for the 2-3 seconds before it's revealed what he's actually doing, you know.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, that escalated really fast for him.
It did.
From breaking an arm, which really wasn't addressed very much at all in this episode, except in the moment with Johnny.
Yeah. Well, the teenagers from the wrestling team that he hurt the kid,
mm-hmm,
Moose Creek, if I remember mm-hmm correctly, I think they came to take a little visit to him at the truck stop and let him know, you know, hey, no. But then I think Dad came up. I think mm-hmm Dexter's dad was here, and he's like, you don't have to be here. He's like, well, I'm protecting my son. So that happened. The Iris flashback was interesting. By the way, can we just talk about continuity? Do we think, obviously, that was Kurt being who in the flashback. So I feel like Kurt would have been, if it was 25 years ago, that felt like a 25-year-old Kurt. I feel like we could have upped his age like maybe 5 or 10 years, not to make a call.
I think
out
you're
casting,
probably right. But. Yeah, no, because the character was more the age of Iris and
yeah
not 10 yeah years her senior. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, that was interesting to see that's where the runaway like obsession of shooting a girl in the back. And I still believe we're going to find a trophy like place in the caves. I mean, the caves, it's the tip of the iceberg, so to speak, with Iris. We haven't really seen where all the other bodies are that he was so intent on preserving, and their facial features, and, you know, was so upset when he made the mistake and shot the girl in her eye. They tried to create the prosthetic. So
well, it's interesting to see this is where he began his serial killer-ness. This was the mm-hmm origin story. This is how he wants to recreate this experience every time. That's a very interesting thing.
Yeah. And according to him, he was trying to save her. You know what I mean? He was saving her from his father. Now, that probably is not the case, but that was part of his story to the detectives. Also, if we recall, with each of his victims that we've seen in New Blood, he has offered them a job, he has offered them money, he has given them a chance to leave. And when none of those things fall into place, that's when he kills them. So yeah, he's also tried to save these other women, maybe only from himself, you know? But he
yeah
really views, I feel like he views what he's doing as honorable in a way. You know, he is taking someone who does not have a good life, in his opinion, and putting them out of their misery.
It is a psychological portrait worth looking at. And I'm with you. It's fun to be like, what makes a serial killer tick? And it's Dexter definitely always likes to figure that out right along with you in the wonderful series that it is. So also we have a moment, I think the first moment, where Kurt is kind of like a bit of a bitch, where he, as he's leaving the police station after he tells the story about his father. By the way, so much father-son metaphor and theme in this show. It's ridiculous. It's wonderful.
Yeah. Well, it's not even a metaphor. It's just out there.
Yeah. It's just, this is like the son, the sins of the fathers, the sins of the sons. And he's like, sorry for your loss. It really is the first time where Kurt normally is actually a very nice person out mm-hmm and about. Mm-hmm. And so you would think if his father killed this woman
mm-hmm
and he'd been holding this as a secret, he would have played the part a little better with the chief to be like, hey, I'm really sorry. So the fact that he's starting to be like a dick
yeah
as just a Kurt Caldwell, non-serial killer, friendly man of town, I was a little like, ooh, I wonder where this is going.
The veneer is cracking,
yeah,
you know?
Like, I know where it's going, but I'm also like, I wonder where it's going.
I, you know, it was shocking how quickly he cleaned out his kill room.
He's efficient.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that was fast work. So, I mean.
Skills.
Yeah, that is definitely skills. He is a man of his hands, a Bob Vila of sorts.
Claire, if I can make the most amazing transition.
Yes.
Speaking of cleaning out rooms.
Yes.
Let's get into our wonderful guest today, Miss Giselle Jimenez, who loves organizing her home. So
uh-huh
I don't know quite as clean and efficiently as Kurt Caldwell did, But she, I think, keeps the walls intact. And I think when she organizes her home, the bathtub stays. So that's a good thing. So that's what she loves. And you know Giselle, obviously, from Dexter New Blood as Tess, the bartender slash teacher slash just overall badass.
Slash like badass in the search and rescue episode where she's like stomping on a cigarette when Dexter freaks out in his pickup truck. She's awesome.
It's a great moment.
That's a great moment for her.
It really is. And you've seen her in Divorce on HBO, Neighbors, Tick, Tick, Boom, which is out on Netflix right now. Giselle and I got to really be quite close, actually, in that time. She would always come up from New York to shoot, and this was a big deal for her, this show, as it was for me and everyone. And she was just so fun and kind to talk to, and just all these great conversations just about life and her boyfriend, who is a nurse, and just life in New York City. She's a big Broadway girl.
She played Nessa Rose in Wicked, which love Wicked. Love me some Wicked.
Y'all got to check out Tick, Tick, Boom. So this was a very like non-song and dance kind of role for her. And I think she blew it out the water. That's what I think.
I think so too.
Yeah. So let's dive.
She cleaned house.
She cleaned house. Claire Kramer. All right. I'm not even going to do a transition. Let's just listen to her talk about organizing her home.
Let's go.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Giselle, do you live at the Container Store?
I dream that I live there.
Which section?
Oh, the one that has like little compartments, like a container that has like within a container, there are like little compartments to like organize your items.
A container within a container.
Like an inception
in a container. Yes.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh, we're mind melding already. I love it. Okay, before we go any further, a lot of people have a lot of different, I guess, definitions of organization or being organized. What is the Giselle definition of being organized?
Definition. I would say having things the way I like them. And the way that I like them is organized. I'm talking about, like, for instance, example, my closet. You know, I have like all my hangers have to be the same color, and my tank tops start first. It's like spaghetti strap, tank top, short sleeve, quarter sleeve, long sleeve, and then we get into button downs and then sweaters, and then in the back are like my like big dresses that go into like the little zipper. What are those called? The travel?
Yeah, little travel bags.
Yeah, but for
coverlets.
For dresses. Yeah, and those are in the back. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All, you know, protected from being dry cleaned. And
are the hangers in the same direction, and are the shirts facing the same way?
Of course. Yes. Of course.
She already said that, oh, David. Come on.
I also, within my closet, this is just a small idea to give you guys. I have like a shoe organizer, and it's like a little door that you open to get what shoe you want. But I like that they have doors because it never smells like shoes in my walk-in closet. Like it just smells fresh. And then you open the door and it's like, you know, and then I have those little shoe balls that you can put in your shoe. So it always smells like really nice and clean.
Ooh, what is the number one room that benefits from being organized in your home?
The number one room that benefits, I would say my bedroom, because that's where we put like all of our sheets and everything, our towels, and then our clothes. So my partner and I are close. So I guess like that would be the most like important one.
It's like the first thing that you see in the morning and the last thing you see going to bed.
Well,
right?
My bedroom is spick and span. I mean, like everything has a place and everything is organized. And I feel like when I was younger, I didn't have that organization like taught to me. It was more like I was born with it. Like when I was 3 years old, my mother would try to make my bed and be like, no, I'm making my own bed, you know, and I would make my own bed. And it started really early on in my life. And it just progressed into a little more than what most people do, you know. I've allowed myself to like expand in the sense of like letting go. And like, so sometimes, you know, if my partner will like throw something because he's in a hurry, because he's a nurse and so he's working a lot. And so he's in a hurry, he throws something. I'm like, I breathe in and out. I don't say anything about it. And I just pick it up and like either put it in, you know, wherever it needs to go, whether laundry bin or hang it back up if he didn't even wear it. But that's not to say that he's not respectful of my organization or cleanliness, because he does try his best to accommodate me as much as possible.
And your system.
Yeah,
your system.
My system. Yeah. And
he's living in your world.
He is. And he like, he should make fun of me a little bit, but like the fact that he respects it enough to like still help me out and do things that make me feel good, it really means a lot to me. For instance, like I understand that a lot of people are like, why make the bed if I'm going to go back in the bed? Right. But for me, it's like before I go to bed, like after a shower, like I want to be in like crisp, like sheets that like weren't wrinkled. And it's like, you open it and it's like, ah, like it's just, you know, and if it's all scrambled and like wrinkled, it's like, it doesn't make me feel good. I don't know why.
No, I am with you. I've made my bed every day of my life. And there's an old saying, like my mom used to tell me, messy bed, messy day, you know? So,
but also like that falls into like the day, right? Like, so like if you're unable to organize things, like I have a friend who has this like bag and I just want to organize it so much. And things are always falling out of it. And she's always like digging and searching and like the time wastes because she's going through this and she's stressed. Mm-hmm. And I'm always like, I never had that issue because I have my purse has a compartment and I have an organizer that I got from Amazon that I put in my tote. And like, so I'm not like stressed out. It's more about the stress of looking for things that I can't take.
I am so with you. I need you to come to help me.
I am the friend that comes over and folds your clothes if they're on the bed clean.
It's not me. It's my four kids that I can't get to like do anything. And everything you're saying, I'm like, oh my gosh, yes, yes, yes. Giselle, I need you to come over and train my children for me, because the amount of restraint that you show by not yelling at your partner when he just like drops something, I don't have that anymore.
Good luck, Giselle. She's got four of them. They all have their own ideas.
I mean, I don't have any children, but I do have a dog, and he's part German Shepherd, part Australian cattle, and he sheds crazy. I'm talking like every single day I have to vacuum the apartment. But the good thing is that when people come over, they're like, it looks like you don't own any pets. Like that's what they say.
Yeah.
Like I would never know that a dog lived here, but that's because it's like, he does that. Like he'll just, you know, shake and like hair flies everywhere. And he always brings his toys out and like middle of the night, I'm stepping on a squeaker toy or a bone or something. So like, it's just kind of like, all right. Like if I'm like out, my foot hurts with whatever, I'm like half asleep, picking up toys, putting him in his dog bin, his toy bin. Cause he can't pick. I mean, I haven't trained him yet to be able to pick his toys away.
Have you ever gone to someone's house, seen a mess and just been like, excuse me, do you mind if I...
If it's a close friend of mine, I'm just like, hey, I'm going to clean your room. And they're always like, oh my God, you're amazing. You don't have to, but thank you. Like, they're always like, because they know that I'm like, trust me, it's not necessarily for you. It's really for me. So that if I'm going to be in your house and sit on your bed, I need to sit on a bed that's like, doesn't have a bunch of stuff on it. Like, you know, I don't want to feel...
It's self-care for you.
It is. Like, I'm like, if I'm going to spend time here, I want to feel comfortable as well.
How many people's houses or homes have you done that to?
A lot of close friends of mine. Yeah. But I would never, ever, ever open my mouth if I was in a place that it was my first time there, even my second time, and I didn't really know them, I wouldn't say a word, because I'm very respectful to everybody I know. I was raised to treat people the way you want to be treated. So like, even though I have, you know, my ways or set ways, I am understanding that everyone's different. I do understand that. And I do respect everyone.
But internally?
Internally, it's like, oh my gosh. Like, yeah, it's like I have to like think of other things or distract myself.
So I've already in this podcast made an observation that the Giselle system seems to be based around compartments within spaces, and maybe smaller compartments. Would that be a fair assessment?
Yeah.
How micro do you go with the organization? I mean, how do you delineate like the color of your scrunchies or your hairbands? Do you separate by color or just by hairband? Like, how deep does it go?
I don't separate the colors of the headbands, not that deep. I do have a bag that has a certain type of scrunchies in it. Mm-hmm. So like if I'm looking for the big, like if I'm looking for these thick kind of scrunchies, how would I describe it so people know what I'm talking about?
A big scrunchie, a normal scrunchie, a scrunchie.
Like you are like the 80s.
A fabric kind of scrunchie.
Fabric, yeah. Scrunchie, yeah. So those are all like in a zipper, like small tote, and like that's there. So that if I want that one, I know exactly where to go to get it. Mm-hmm. I feel like if I have all of my hair things in one place, then I'm scooping around, especially if I'm late. I want to grab it and go. I don't want to have to be searching. Again, it causes stress, which I just try to avoid all the time.
Giselle, I want to go back to the origin story, if you will, because you gave us a taste that, you know, your mom would say, honey, make your bed, and it would already be made. Do you think the home you were in was very messy, or was life a little chaotic around you, so you created your own way of order?
Well, I would say as a kid growing up, you know, I had a part-time, like, so I had winters with mom and summers with dad when I was born, a few months after they had separated. And so during the winter time, like when I was with my mom, every Saturday we would do family cleaning day. And we would all have a responsibility, and we would put music on, we would make it fun. Either like I would polish the wood, my brother would dust the apartment, my mom would vacuum, my other brother would wash the pots and pans, which everyone hated that one, the pots and pans one, because she never soaped them. So it was always like, have to like put your back into scrubbing. And I'm like, I learned that. Like I always soak after I cook dinner, I always soak the pots or put a little bit of that Dawn and like let the water just kind of make it easier, because then it's going to also take away the nonstick. Anyway, let me not go into that.
I'm with you.
but yes, that was the plan. And then my dad was a little more old school, because, you know, he was born and raised in Cuba, and he came to America when he was in his teens. So his point of view was very traditional, you know, women clean, which, you know, obviously he knows that things have changed and that is not a thing that we in America live by, but it did take a little bit of time for him to understand that and realize that. But before he was able to, whenever I was with him, like I had to do everything. So like my brothers were watching Dragon Ball Z, and like I only got to like do like glimpses of the episodes, because like I was doing laundry and I was cooking and I was cleaning and like everyone's mess. And then when I went to school, I was talking with friends of mine and I was asking around, getting points of view, because I had never really asked anyone this. And a lot of my friends were like, no, my mom does that. My mom does that. And I was like, okay, well, I lost my mom when I was 13. So I had to like full-time live with dad. And I was like, all right, well, I don't have that anymore. So what can I do to make this better for me? Because this is insane. And so I wrote him a letter. We didn't really communicate back then verbally as well as we do today, but I wrote him a letter and I said, this is America. And, you know, I've learned that we all have to be responsible for our own messes, but also help each other out and work together. And it was kind of corny, but like, I meant it. And he wrote a letter back to me and gave it to me. And it was, and he apologized. He was like, "You're totally right. I shouldn't have done that. And yes, we do have to do our part." And that's how that, you know, beautiful conversation developed and blossomed. And, you know, I started being like, telling my brother, like, wash your own stuff. Like, you're doing wrestling. I don't want to clean your nasty gym clothes. Like, you do it and you learn how to do it. And so, like, stuff like that, that, like, we were able to work out and figure out. But I mean, like, even reorganizing furniture, like, I would do that sometimes because, like, my dad didn't really let me go out too much. Also, I was very sheltered. So, like, and I lived in the boondocks. So no one ever wanted to pick me up to go out. Like, they were like, "Hey, Giselle, we're going to go to the movies." And I'm like, "Can anyone pick me up?" Because, like, I lived in Miami and I was in Homestead, like, right before the Keys. No one wanted to ever pick me up. So a lot of the times I would just be like, "You know what? We need to change my room." And I would just, like, change, like, the furniture around, and just so I could feel like something's different in the atmosphere that I'm staying in. But yeah, that, I guess, like, making the
I think
best
that you kind of, like, everything you just said encapsulated, like, why you love to be organized and keep things, like, really neat now is, like, A, you can control your own environment, and B, it's less stressful, you know? And I love the fact that you wrote your dad a letter. That's so, and that he responded that way. That's like melting my heart. I'm happy for you.
I was too scared to, like, say anything, because, like, my dad has, like, this permanent angry look on his face. Like, it's to the, he's 65 or 66 now, and, like, he has, like, that, like, wrinkle mark between his eyebrows, like, that just stays there now because of all the years that he just looked angry. So it was like, I didn't want to talk to him in person like that.
Do you go, like, help him organize out of joy now?
Whenever I go visit, I always, like, I'm like, "Oh, come on, Dad." Like, you know, I'll yeah, like, fix things. Cause, you know, he still works a lot. And so he doesn't have as much time to do the things that he would want to do. So whenever I do go visit him, yeah, I'll just, like, do a deep clean and be like, "Dad, don't forget.
Well, I love when you first send that letter, you talked about, you know, life's messy. I love how mess and clean for you is, like, a metaphor for inner world, outer world. And it really is for all of us, but I really like how you're walking it out. All right. How much is it about the cleaning and the organizing and actually getting your hands in? Or if you could just snap your fingers or twitch your nose, Bewitched style, and it could just all go exactly where it needed to go, would you do it?
Yeah.
You wouldn't. It's not about the process. If you could just snap your fingers
the
and everything would be in
process is therapeutic. So me cleaning something is going to help something that maybe I'm frustrated about or possibly impatient about. Mm-hmm. That can help me distract and you know, switch gears for a moment or two. But if I had the ability to genie it and, like, make it perfect, I could probably, like, learn guitar or, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, pick up an actual hobby and learn something. Like, I for the longest time, I've been wanting to buy a sewing machine because, like, I love fashion so much and I have so many ideas. And every time I look online for something, I'm like, but they should have used this fabric because it would look better. So I'm like, if I'm thinking this way, like, why don't I try to make something that, like, I can rock, that I feel like is Giselle? And, but, like, I don't have time to be sewing and doing all that stuff because I have a dog and, you know, my partner is a night nurse. He works, you know, 10 hours a day. And so, like, if I'm home, that is my job, because as soon as I'm going back,
there's a blue hanger amidst the sea of red hangers. How did he get there?
Well, he has his own color of hangers and I have my own color of hangers.
I love that. How much is it about sifting through and getting rid of stuff versus organizing and keeping, like, how do you know where you need to downgrade items and where you just need a better system to organize?
Do you burn and purge?
I don't purge, but I constantly, like, get rid of things because I take care of my, like, for instance, like, my clothes. I read all the labels and I follow all the directions, so they've lasted me a long time. But because of that, you know, every year I go through my clothing and I'm like, all right, what can I get rid of, what can I donate, Even though it's in great condition, I've had it for 5 or 6, 7 years. Let me let go of it and somebody else can use it because it's still good. Mm-hmm. So I do that for sure. I don't wear sneakers longer than 6 months. But that's because I went to a foot doctor and he was like, did you know that your toe bones are underdeveloped? And I was like, what? Who says that? And no, like, why would anyone tell me? I don't know. I didn't know that. He's like, well, you gotta invest in shoes and you can't wear them longer than a certain time because, you know, and when you get older, you're going to have foot issues and all this stuff. So like in that respect,
nobody wants foot issues. That's not something we want.
Hold on. I think I know why, if I'm connecting this with your life. You played Nessa Rose in Wicked, didn't you?
Yeah.
And her toes curl up as she dies under the house. This is it. You should never have gotten that role.
Damn that role.
No, you should definitely have gotten that role.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles, just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
So has there ever been a moment where you had such a nice day, you organized, you cleaned, and then at the end of the day you're like, fuck, I just threw out my family heirloom, or oh no, my partner just, I threw out that, or someone called you and was like, you organized my closet, it's great, but I can't find my keys.
Okay, well, in one instance, like whenever my partner does our laundry, like if I'm working and he's doing our laundry, he'll call me like every second, like, where does this go? Does this go in a mesh bag? Whatever. And I'm usually like, if you don't really know, just leave it alone and don't touch it and let me take care of it. Because I'd rather I do it than you ruin something that's very expensive. And what am I going to do? So in that respect, you know, like he'll do the laundry and he'll like try to put my things away. But he never seems to learn where things go. Like I'll find underwear like in my workout bin. I'll find socks in my bra bin. And I'm like, how does that make sense? Like I literally come to him and I'm like, did you even think about this? Or did you just put it somewhere? Like, I'd rather you just leave it on the table and let me put it away than me have to hunt and fix everything that you just tried to do. Because I know where all your things are. You know,
Claire is nodding.
But yeah, that is trying. And, you know, the fact that he folded them and put them away, to me, that's enough. Sooner or later, he will learn like where things go. But I have the patience for that because he was able to have the patience to learn that I like things folded and I like, you know, stuff a certain way. So.
Do you do the 3-shirt fold or the 2?
Let me see. 1, 2. Yeah, 3.
Yep.
I do that.
Oh, yeah. Let's get into it then. So okay. Marie Kondo, Home Edit. Are we watching any of these organizing shows? Are they a happy place for you? Or are you disagreeing with these people at every step of the way?
As soon as I saw it, I like rolled my eyes. I don't know why. I guess because like, I'm like, dang, like she found a way to profit off of like something that she loves to do. Like, but like, you know what I mean? Like, I think it was more like me just being jealous that like, she's like teaching people how to clean to me when I thought like, oh, I thought everyone was like, could learn this or it was like that easy, you know? they even have like easy, they have like a folding, like a tool that will do the threefold for you without you doing anything but using that tool. Like, that's how easy it is for people to have organized things. That's why when that came on, I was like, I hate her.
Do you agree with her system of throwing like everything in a pile? It seems scary to me. That seems like the opposite of how you would want to start organizing.
Wait, Claire, can you expand on that for those of us who don't know the Marie Kondo pile?
Well, I don't know her system very well. I have not done her system, but I do know enough to know that it starts with like purging everything. Let's say you're doing your bedroom closet, taking everything in your closet, absolutely everything, and throwing it in a pile on your bed. And then I guess you're supposed to pick it up. And if it brings you joy, you put it back in the closet. And if it does not, then you donate it or discard it.
This is the spark joy moment. Does this item of clothing, does the sock spark joy for
you? Spark joy for you, yeah.
You had a memory of it. It was a positive experience. Otherwise, it goes, okay.
No, that makes perfect sense. And the only time I've ever done that, and it probably because I've never been messy, is when I'm moving into a new place. Mm-hmm. So when I'm moving into a new place, I take my time to move in. And I don't put things away unless I'm certain that this is where I want it. And then whatever I feel like is left in that pile, I either donate or trash it. So in a way, I have done that. But I feel like taking everything in the pile, it might be very time consuming for most people because people need to work. And so I feel like increments make more sense. Like I feel like Monday, I'm only going to go through. Because like, for instance, my aunt, she owns like 50 or 60 pairs of shoes. And like, every time I go there, I'm like, let's go through your shoes and see what you're not wearing so we can donate these. Right. Mm-hmm. So like, I feel like that's how you could do it. Like Monday, I'm going to go through the shoes. Tuesday, I'm going to go through the coats and see what I can donate. You know what I mean? I feel like if you break it down, it could be more fun. And you also can have a time in your day that's productive, but also allowing room to do your personal stuff, working out, going to work, whatever.
I'm just sitting here nodding. Everything you're saying makes so much sense. It's too much. I was just thinking this morning when I was doing a load of laundry and I was looking at the shelf next to my washer dryer and it has like different compartments in it. And I, you know, they're supposed to be organized. Like, this is the kids' medicine. This is the, you know, sunscreen. Here's the bug spray. Here's the hair stuff. It's not organized. That's all like every bin. And I'm like, it's too much to think about. Like, all I just need to take like one a day, do it, and then move on. So you're absolutely right. I think most people who aren't organized, which is someone like me, I want to be organized. I really want that, but I don't have either the time or the skill set, inherent skill set like you have, or, you know, the energy, I guess, to do it. So I think just taking those little projects one by one is very good advice.
Yeah. And then if you have small increments of the project, then you feel more inspired to continue as opposed to, it's the same thing with everything you start. Like, for instance, like working out, I was like, oh, but it's so hard to go to the gym. It's like, yeah, the hardest part is going to the gym. Once you're there, you're like, ah, whatever, I'm almost done. So it's like, and if you do like little by little, you're more likely to continue being active. But if you just like, you know, join berries and you're just like, and you're like pumping through for a month. And then like the next month, you might not work out for a whole month because you're like, oh, but I'm so sore from berries. And it's like, you did too much. And now your body's going to be like, nah, I need a break. And it's even with food, moderation is what we as human beings, like, we need that in order to thrive.
But it seems like to me, with your friends, with your family, your father, your aunt, you've mentioned, like, what you're doing is actually a gift. You're like giving people, like, instead of bringing a casserole or flowers or a bottle of wine, you're like, here I am, and I'm going to help you out with my own skill set and my own two hands, you know? And I love that about you. You're an amazing friend and niece and daughter and sibling, everything. That's so awesome. Really quickly, let's talk about a couple different things. I'll say like an item and you tell me how you would organize it. Okay.
Okay.
So like you're wearing, I love your hat. I have tons of hats in my family. How do you organize your hats?
I have a bin for my hats, and then I have like either a bin cover or like a cover. So that way when I open my hat bin, it's not all dusty. And this has been through trial and error, because I used to have like a hat rack that I would hang my hats, but after a while they would accumulate dust.
Yes.
And I was like, it was just another thing that I had to clean. So I was like, how can I avoid these hats collecting dust, but still have them ready to go when I want to wear a hat? Okay, I'll just cover the top of it. So all I have to do is clean the top of that lid that collected the dust in whichever closet is it's in.
I love it. Okay, so this is, again, a couple rapid fire questions. How do you organize your makeup?
I have like eyeshadow in one in one little tote. I have, is tote the right term?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I have.
Own it.
Yeah. So I have lipsticks and anything with lips in one case. I have eye things in one case. I have, what is it called? Liquid foundation. I don't really wear foundation that much, but liquid foundation in one case. So that way I know exactly where to go for what I need. Again, I'm not like
digging,
going through digging. Yeah.
You're not a gopher going through your makeup. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Loading the dishwasher.
This is something that my partner is working on. He sometimes will put a dish without rinsing it into the dishwasher. And I'm like, do you understand that food can get caught in there? It can get caught in the pipes and it can cause a smell. It can cause damage to the piping. It's like pollution. Like, you have to make sure that you remove all of, and it's like with the napkin that you were eating with, just use that napkin, wipe off the excess crumbs into the trash, rinse it, and then put it in the dishwasher.
So many people out there though who are like, well, then what's the point of the dishwasher?
Because
I should throw the whole thing in. I shouldn't have to pre-wash the dish. There are two types of people in the world.
I'll tell you
now,
why.
I'm not going to tell you which one I am, because I actually don't know. I don't own a dishwasher, but
I'll tell you. The luxury of having a dishwasher is saving water. So if you were to put a full load into a dishwasher, you're saving like 500 gallons in one cleaning session, where not everybody has the obedience of filling up a little bit of water, turning it off, scrubbing it, waiting until it's all scrubbed, rinsing it. People don't have that kind of patience.
They just let the water run.
They let it run and it wastes a lot of water. So for me, that's one of the reasons why I use it. I recently moved to Jersey, so it's the reason why I have that luxury. When I lived on the Upper West Side in New York, we never even dared try to use that old dishwasher, because we were like, who knows how ancient or what the heck is in there. So we kept that thing closed and we did hand wash everything. But again, like, I found ways. So if you don't have a dishwasher, you just like fill up like a little bucket of water and soap. Then you can just dip those items and scrub them. But what I like with the dishwasher, not only does it conserve water, but also the heat, like the hotness of the water is almost to boiling, steaming point, where if you're washing, even if you have gloves on, you can't get it that hot.
Yeah.
You can't, because it'll burn yourself. You'll be like, ah, this is too hot. But I feel like in any situation, boiling water kills germs, kills bacteria. And again, that is one of the reasons why I enjoy using it, because it does those kinds of jobs.
Okay, last one. This is, and there's two of you, but maybe you have, you know, guest toothbrushes. How do you organize your toothbrushes? That can get gross if you don't have the right system.
If your toothbrush is in your bathroom and there's two people living there, there's going to be two showers in the morning, and then there's going to be two showers at night if you're that person who showers twice a day, right? That's like a lot of moisture. Even if you have your vent fan on, moisture grows bacteria. And so for me, I change my toothbrushes like once a month, because I don't know what wet stuff is growing in there, what bacteria, and then I'm putting in my mouth, even like flushing the toilet. Like, I close the lid and I flush the toilet because I don't want any particles. But my partner doesn't. He'll just flush the toilet and leave it open. So in those cases, I'm not going to be a police, you know, I'm not going to be patrolling him like, hey, close the toilet lid. Like, I'm just going to change my toothbrush once a month so I feel clean and comfortable. We are also fortunate with a his and hers sink. So he has his thing and I have mine. So, you know, we keep that, you know, separate.
Giselle, this was a total pleasure. Mean, clean, lean machine of a podcast. Claire and I love to end every podcast with a love letter. If you'd be so kind as to speak out a love letter to cleaning and organizing your home. And if you'd love to start it, please, with dear organizing my home and end it with this. Love, Giselle. Thank you so much.
Dear Spill of Organizing, I appreciate that you exist because without you, I would have a lot of chaos and a lot of mess in my life. And because of this crazy career of acting that I chose to partake in, there's enough stress of that. Thank you for eliminating a percentage of that in my day and making me feel comfortable and happy and bringing joy to my life. Love, Giselle.
Beautiful. And we can close the closet door of this podcast and know that every hanger is exactly where it's
facing the right way.
I really related to the whole, are you clean or are you organized? Because my wife is very clean, but not necessarily the most organized. And I am very organized, but not necessarily the most clean. I can let dust bunnies go. How do you feel, Claire?
I am neither exceptionally clean nor exceptionally organized, but I am a bit of a germaphobe because I related to the part where Giselle was talking about having to shut the toilet seat before she flushed. And I am a toilet seat shutter before flusher type of person. And it is because I was cursed with seeing an episode of Shark Tank when Shark Tank was on, where the product, the first part of their pitch was like, when you flush, thousands of bacteria leave the toilet and escape all through. And their whole product was about keeping all the bacteria that jutted out of the toilet whenever you flushed it in the toilet. So since that episode, I'm like, shut the toilet. It's not so much with the boys about, you know, putting the seat up, putting the seat down. I'm like, just shut the lid. Shut it. Keep it all in there. Shut it and then flush. Just like on an airplane. I think it's so disgusting if I go into an airplane bathroom and someone has not shut that toilet lid before they've flushed, because that suction, there's such an intense, you know, system of suction, and
you could fall in there.
Velocity going on with the airplane bathroom system that I don't even want to know about. Anyway, I really want Giselle to come, and I said this on the podcast and I said it after the podcast and I'm saying it again now. I want her to come help me organize.
I want her to do that as well for you, Claire, but I know you're doing a beautiful transition and we're moving on to something else. I have to firmly now plant myself in, you are blowing my mind with all of this bacteria coming out of a toilet.
That's,
I did not know this is where
our
outro was
going to
go.
I replace the toothbrushes every month. I'm like, oh, I got to go right now. I'm going to Rite Aid as soon as we're done. I'm replacing all the toothbrushes because I finally got a system for the toothbrushes in my house. There's quite a few, and, you know, also extra toothbrushes for the animals. So several, lots of toothbrushes. But I got a system where they're wall mounted, but the bottom is open. So it doesn't, like, you know how sometimes if you have a flat toothbrush holder, the bottom will get like all that congealed.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
the worst.
Gross. That gray.
What is
that?
Like, we need a name for what that is.
That gray, that's weird, like some minty saliva.
Petri dish of doom.
So that doesn't happen anymore because I did find on Amazon, which I love, these toothbrush holders that are adhesive to the wall and they have an open bottom. So I'm happy to share that with everyone. I'll share that on Twitter. That is my suggestion for toothbrushes.
Well, that is a perfect way to start your day. And hopefully this podcast was a perfect way to end your day. Or if you're getting going, I hope it was a great way to start your day too.
This is like, guys, bedtime fodder for people.
Yeah. We had a great time with Giselle. I hope you guys did as well. And didn't mean to rhyme, but it happened. And we'll see you guys for some more Dexter fun next week.
That's right. We will be back. And the show is so good, David. Thank you. Thank you for being on it.
Oh, you are most welcome.
Hey guys, before you go, next week coming up, we have Alano Miller coming on to Fanatics, and he's going to be talking about the future of technology. Of course, you know Alano from Dexter New Blood. You may also have caught him in one of my favorite shows, Halt and Catch Fire. He was the lead in Cherish the Day, of course, Jane the Virgin, and Underground. So come on and join us next week for Alano Miller talking about the future of tech. Thank you for listening to Fanatics, a Roddenberry podcast. For more episodes and info, head over to wearefanatics.com or tweet your Fanatics thoughts and stories at wearefanatics.
Yes, that's We Are, F-A-N-A-D-D-I-C-T-S. Our show is hosted by Claire Kramer and me, David Magadoff.
Produced by me, Claire Kramer, and Kelsey Goldberg. Executive producers Trevor Roth and Rod Roddenberry.
Our sound engineer and editor is Elizabeth Joy Windham, and you can thank Stephen Mudd for our theme song.
Catch us next Thursday for another Fanatics episode.
There are certain truths about life, like salmon swims upstream and snowflakes are unique. And every hanger has its own color. Don't F with Giselle's system. Don't F with Giselle's system.
I want her system. I want it so bad.
Are you tired of dating assholes? Do you want a Prince Charming? If so, we're filming a reality show. Sign up here.
12 American women are flown over to the UK for a bachelor-style reality dating show.
There are so many questions about a show like this because it's so odd.
These women have been told that they were going to be dating the world's most eligible bachelor, Prince Harry.
What? Y'all playing with me, right?
You can binge The Bachelor of Buckingham Palace exclusively on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts or the Wondery app.